Hi, I'm Michaela, a psychotherapist.
Hi, I'm Savannah, not a psychotherapist.
Welcome to our podcast, Be You, Find Happy.
Real life conversations about life and the pursuit of happiness.
To introduce our podcast guest today, Gail Straub. Not only did she start a blog in 2014, she also is the host of a very popular podcast, and she wrote a book. She's the founder of She Explores, and the message is incredible. It's all about women and what they're finding in their empowered journeys on hiking trails and backpacking trips and everything outdoors, everything exploration. I can't wait to share her story with you.
I've been looking forward to this all week, so I didn't want to miss
it. Oh, that's so sweet.
Why can you start by telling everybody a little bit about who you are, because you're amazing.
Oh, well, I will say I'm really bad at talking about myself, so I'm just going to preface the whole entire conversation with that.
Hysterical. You're like a podcast host. And
yeah, but my whole shtick is talking with other people and highlighting other people's stories. But all that to say, I'm Gail. I host a podcast called She Explores, and I started a blog, she-explores.com, back in 2014. So She Explores, the podcast, is really an extension of that. And I live in New Hampshire. I grew up in New Hampshire. I never thought I would choose New Hampshire to be my home again, but I really enjoy living here, and I have lots of great access to hiking trails and the ocean. And
does the Appalachian Trail end there, or?
Yeah, so the Appalachian Trail runs up through New Hampshire and ends in Maine after the 100-mile wilderness on Mount Katahdin.
Oh my gosh, that sounds like a dream. That's amazing.
yeah, it's pretty cool.
That we have the Pacific Crest Trail here, but I've never done any part of the Appalachian at all, obviously having not been that side too much. So that's definitely on my bucket list.
It's just, just like the PCT, it's so surreal to think that there's a trail that, goes that far, that you could start on one path and end, in Georgia, I think, which is where it ends, if you're heading south.
I watched a movie that was really cool on Netflix about a guy who ran it.
And, oh, wow.
Yeah. And he set the world record. And the prior world record holder actually supported him along the way, like met up with him and brought him a pizza and stuff like that. And I thought, that's just the team spirit of hiking right there.
Well,
the competition is so in so many other types of sports or outdoor adventures,
Yeah. That's very true. It's really nice.
So what inspired you to start She Explores, the blog, back in 2014?
Yeah. So I was working in Cambridge, right next to Boston. I'd been dating my now partner of 7 years for about a year in 2013, when we decided that we wanted to take a year and travel around the United States. We kind of thought, like, we were both in positions where we weren't seeing the possibility of growth. Like, we were both at jobs that we weren't sure that we were going to be able to be promoted in. There wasn't like a clear track that way. So we figured if we were going to pivot or change jobs, like, why not do it intentionally? So what we did was we saved for a year and a half, and we built out a Sprinter van, and we traveled around the United States for a year. And as I was saving, I started thinking about what I wanted to do with that time. Like, obviously, I wanted to go to national parks and hike all around the country and visit friends and family who don't live in New England. But I also wanted to take that opportunity to create something that I wanted to put energy into that I wouldn't have had time to do while I was working a 9-to-5 job. So I thought about She Explores a lot. I thought about the kind of community and like the kind of content that I wanted to read and what, and I wasn't seeing it then. There's kind of been this like whole uprising of women in the outdoors since around the time I started She Explores, which is awesome. Like, but then there just weren't too many places for women on the internet. And I think it's awesome to see all the different organizations that exist now, but then I was just wanting something like She Explores. So I decided to start it.
That's incredible. So many things that you said, kind of, I jotted little notes on, but one of the things that came to mind just in the last couple seconds that you were talking is that in 2012, I hiked to the top of Mount Whitney. And it's interesting how few women were on the trail then. Mm. And, you know, that's, I would consider that to be a pretty bucket list trail for hikers. But, in the last couple of years, I've crossed paths with so many more women, you know, especially in, the Sierra Nevada mountain range. And I think that's just awesome. More women who are even solo hiking. I was with a friend and her husband, but you know, the solo hiking for females has really kind of exploded, I think, as well, even in the last year or two.
Yeah. Yeah, it really has. And I think that that's, because of, you know, in large part it's because of media changing the kind of stories that are being told about women, and the different communities that have come up in the past 5 years. Like I think about, you know, Women Who Hike, which is founded by Nicole Brown, or there's, you know, And She's Dope Too, which is an organization that's based out of Utah. So they do a lot of events, bringing women together. There's just like a lot of communities that are supporting that. And then on top of that, because there's been this kind of grassroots movement with organizations like Women Who Hike or nonprofits like Outdoor Women's Alliance, or even, you know, small media companies like She Explores, that has led to companies changing the way that they talk about women in their marketing. So REI did this whole Force of Nature campaign that they launched in the spring of 2017. And for the rest of 2017, they only featured women in their advertising. And that was a conscious decision that they made because there was this, you know, rise up of people saying like, we're out here too. And also we want more women to be out here too. So it's really cool to see the kind of trickle up effect that these grassroots organizations have had on an industry that used to be known for being pretty stodgy, but is getting better all the time.
Well, and even you, I mean, we have to give credit that the women that you've had, you know, on the blog, on the podcast, 73-year-old ladies, you know, just a variety of different types and their inspiring stories. You know, your whole thing is, at least from what I can tell, is outdoor intersecting life, you know, and all the ways in which that happens. And so I think much credit to you too.
Oh, thanks.
What you're doing there. I remember living in San Diego back in 2004, 2005, and having grown up in Sierra Nevada mountains, moving down there, you know, I was always hiking Cowles Mountain, which is like their little blip compared to the Sierra Nevadas, but that's what we had. And it was kind of like the hippie poo poo thing to do, you know, was to go for a hike instead of like hitting the beach and doing the surf, but I did it anyway. And now all my friends in San Diego are posting pictures on Iron Mountain and Cowles Mountain and all sorts of things. And it's like, that's awesome to finally see it not being such a taboo or dorky thing to do, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Cause there's so many positive, you know, health benefits that you get from going out and hiking. And it's also fairly, you know, in terms of barriers to entry, besides some of the cultural aspects of like, depending on how you feel when you're on the trail, from an equipment standpoint, it's not like you need so many really expensive, fancy things.
Absolutely. I was just chatting with Sonny McCandless a couple weeks ago about my first experience on a big hiking trip with some people from San Francisco. They had clearly gone to REI and bought everything that REI had, you know, and here we had nothing. But they did introduce me to Jet Boil, which was like amazing.
Yeah, Jet Boil's great.
Oh, so great. Yeah, French press coffee on the trail and all that stuff. So you've got, oh gosh, how many episodes now on the podcast?
This week released the 109th episode.
Wow. Yeah. You're such an inspiring person to me. I'm so honored to have you on. So out of 109, you probably have a lot of favorites and, you know, but can you pick one or two favorite stories or favorite guests?
Yeah. So when I look back and think about the episodes that I've been able to produce, the ones that I get the most satisfaction out of and like feel really good about in the end are often the ones that I worked with another person on. So one that comes to mind for me right away is this one that I put out last summer, and I worked on it, you know, took a lot longer than a typical episode. Like it was more than just like recording a conversation and then editing it down. But I worked with Taryn Ayton, who has a blog called Happiest Outdoors. And she had emailed me about her grandmother and told me that her grandmother had taken a bike packing trip in the 1940s during World War II as like a little week vacation when she was working at Boeing at helping to build like sections of bombers during World War II. So she's a woman working at a factory during that time. And Taryn told me about that and told me about how when she learned that her grandmother had taken that trip, it was just such a surprise for her. It wasn't the way that she saw her grandmother. She saw her grandmother as like, you know, a grandmother figure, kind of a provider, like family was really important. Adventure wasn't something that seemed like her grandmother prioritized. So when she told me about that, I was like, is your grandmother still with us by any chance?
And, right.
and she is, she was, and she is. And, I mailed a recorder to Taryn and she had a conversation with her grandmother. And then, and then I got to edit that and also had a conversation with Taryn about it so that we got to kind of cut it all up and turn it into an episode. And it was really special for me because one, I don't often get to have voices that are, you know, who have so much wisdom on the show. Like I often, you know, I find people who are closer to my age often, or people gravitate towards me who are closer to my age. And it just felt like such a gift to have someone who had that many years of life under her belt. And then it was really just, besides getting this peek into her life and that trip for her and how special that was, it was also just like really nice to give myself, like on a, in a more selfish standpoint, like the opportunity to think about my own grandmother and what I would have asked both of them if they were still with us, and like the kind of things that I wish I'd asked and recorded when they were there. So that episode's really special to me because I think that a lot of people have these impressions of who their grandparents are or who the people are that are a couple generations away from them, but you don't really know. And it's always worth taking the time to ask.
And such a creative way to send her the recorder and all of that, and to have that experience of you know, kind of tapping back into something that she would be familiar with versus just doing it over the phone or something. I think that's incredible.
Yeah. I've done that a few times. I sent a recorder to Jamie Shear, who went to the Flash Foxy Women's Climbing Festival in Bishop, California. And so she went and interviewed all these people. And then we worked on it together and turned it into a podcast episode. So those episodes take a lot more time, but I feel like they have such a strong payoff in terms of like the listener experience. And then also to be able to get a different perspective, because I'm always talking to people. It's always, everything's kind of coming through my lens, and like, you know, things get narrow when there's only one perspective.
Sure.
Yeah.
And the other thing you said about, you know, tapping into grandparents and their wisdom and that kind of thing. And we do see them from, you know, when we start to have memory, they're old, and that's all they are. They're just old. and then to kind of look at them as like humans that had a youthful experience and what they may have done that, you know, created some of how you are and who you are too, you know?
Yeah.
They have, I feel like in America, we don't tap into the gifts from our elders as much as we could be.
Completely agree. Yeah. It's such a youth obsessed culture. which is shitty.
Right. It really is. I love, I'm turning 40 this year. And so, you know, all my family's been jabbing me and giving me a hard time about it. And I absolutely love aging gracefully. I just feel like it's such a rite of passage and such an honor. And so I'm embracing that. And I find myself too, also wanting to connect more with my grandma and spend more time with her and understand her upbringing and her perspective. And that's been an interesting part of, my own aging process, you know.
Oh, you're so lucky to have her.
I do, and she's British and ornery.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, and it's interesting how you know, I try to talk about feministic topics with her and it's not up for discussion. Mm. It's very interesting how she's just completely kind of walled that idea off. It's very special.
Yeah. Yeah. That's actually something that came up a bit with Taryn and her grandmother too, just that gap in terms of what's possible for women, or what, you know, what her grandmother kind of thought was possible for herself too. So it is interesting to think about how that's changed over the past, with her grandmother, it was like 70 something years. Like, her grandmother's 94, I think. Mm-hmm. And you know, what, just how much has changed in the past like 70 years, and also how the ways we're going forward and also, you know, moving backwards in terms of what's happening in the United States right now.
Yeah. Yeah. So much good dialogue that at least we're trying to start.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
So do you have a most hysterical adventure? Obviously, you took this intentional trip kind of across the United States to see what you wanted to do. What, did anything unfold during that journey that you reflect on as being a learning experience, or something funny even?
Funny. I wish I had like a great, like, look back on it and laugh experience, but I feel like it was mostly just car issues. So we had a Sprinter van, a 21 foot long Sprinter van that was big enough to have actually a queen size mattress in the back. So we wanted it to be comfortable, like a rolling bedroom. And all of the kind of hijinks ended up being around like issues that would come up with the van. So the one thing that was kind of funny was that we didn't have any breakdowns, which was fantastic. Our transmission blew when we got home, but while we were on the road, no issues mechanically. But the one thing that happened was we were visiting a friend of mine who was working as an intern at a winery in Sonoma County. And, you know, great mooch, like great person to visit while you're on the road. Sure. And we were parked at the winery she was working at. I think it was like Peterson Winery or something. And we actually had only one key to the van. And my partner snapped it when he was trying to open up the van. So we were not able to leave. We actually spent the whole weekend camped at like a really fancy winery parking lot. And it was great. It was like the perfect place to like, quote unquote, break down. Like, we just like had wine and like went to like, went into town with our friends and stuff. And we got it fixed a few days later. It was like kind of a unique fix just because of the type of van and stuff, but it was a good place to break down.
You guys probably started the hashtag van life movement.
Oh, no. Foster Huntington started that. But yeah, it was it was pretty new then.
I think it's hysterical that it's a thing, because I grew up in a 27-foot fifth wheel with no running water and no electricity.
Wow.
And there was nothing glamorous about it.
Yeah.
Maybe I just needed Instagram like 25 years ago.
There's all the – it feels like this like – wave that I keep thinking is going to peak. Like, I feel like, you know, it feels like a trend, but I don't think it's really a trend. It seems like it's like a way of life for a lot of people.
People are just migrating back to their roots.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have friends and stuff who keep building bigger houses, and I'm like, nope, I'm good. Mm-hmm. I like my little small humble house in the mountains. It's fine by me.
Yeah, I know. But the bigger, like, that's, I don't know. I wonder about some of those houses, especially if you have kids. You're like, are you just trying to get away from your family? Like,
right.
What's the point of this?
Oh, I have a micro family, so we're used to, it's just me, my husband, and son, so we're used to being, you know, kind of a tight pod.
Oh, that's sweet. That's nice.
Cramming into small spaces together. So, what about, do you have a biggest celebrity that you've had on the podcast?
Ooh, you know, it's one of the things I really try not to, like, as much as I try to have a mix of people on the show. So like, I don't ever try to have like people who are on the show just because they're Insta famous, like just because they have a lot of followers. I choose people for their story, and I love having people on who maybe don't even have like a presence online, or they have a story that is worth uplifting so more people can see it. It's not something that's been told over and over again. But in terms of like the most, I guess, kind of the most famous person would probably be Cheryl Strayed.
Shut up! I didn't know you had her on!
Yeah, well, I actually didn't get to interview her. This was another instance where I worked with someone else on it. So my good friend, Anna Bronis, who's an artist, and she goes to Mountain Film every year, which is a film festival in Telluride. And she's there now. It's actually going on now. And she got to meet Cheryl a couple of years before, and they had kind of connected, and Cheryl bought her book. And my friend was like, hey, would you like me to interview Cheryl for you? And I was like, yes, like, please, like, that'd be great. So we got to do that, and wow, got to have her on the show that way. And wow, I actually, she did text my friend and said that we did a great job on the episode. And I joked that I was going to print it out and put it on my wall, but I didn't. And maybe I should, like, maybe I need that little reminder to stop, like, that she liked the episode.
Yeah. You've got to take those compliments when they come.
Yeah, you do. And it's hard to do that sometimes when you're, you know, when you got your head down.
My Cheryl Strayed story, I was reading her book after my son was born, and then we listened to the audio version of Wild on the way to Mount Whitney, and we hiked Whitney in a day. So we started at midnight with our permit and summited around 10 a.m. and then made it back down by 5. So it was an incredible experience, and the whole thing just kind of, it was just so neat listening to, you know, so much about the John Muir Trail, Pacific Crest, and all that, and then being on Whitney was really fun.
Yeah, that's great. Have you read any of her other writing?
You know, I haven't, and I'm an avid, so I'm a writer and I'm an avid reader, and I haven't. All of Brene Brown stuff, though, that's for sure. all of Elizabeth Gilbert and all those kind of inspirational women as well that run in those circles, but I really should pick up some of her newer stuff. So this would be a good time to talk about your book.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Talk to me about your book. How awesome.
Yeah, so the book is, it's basically the culmination of 4 or 5 years of work. So in that, it is a great reflection of what she explores is. So it's a 200-page-ish full-color photo book that features 40 women who are reflective of like what we do at She Explores in some way. And there are women who've been on the podcast often. There are women who we featured on the blog. They're artists. They're some of them are travelers. There's always an intersection and overlap with the outdoors. So some of the women in the book, like one example is, let me see, I think of a good person. Well, so one person is Gretchen Powers, who's a photographer, and she actually writes about her mother and the inspiration that she's found from her mom, and the way that her mom introduced her to the outdoors. And then she also talks about a little bit how she's worked through some of her some of her experiences with depression and anxiety in the outdoors. And my goal with the book was to try to reflect as many different experiences and people as possible. So there's topics of like mental health, there's topics of creativity, there's topics of like entrepreneurship, there's topics of advocacy. I really want people to be able to like open up the book, see a little bit of themselves reflected, and then also learn about other people that way, which is also what I hope for people when they listen to the podcast or go on Instagram or go onto the blog.
And one of the things that's coming to mind for me when you're talking about this, and that book just sounds like it'll be such an empowering tool for so many women. And it sounds like it kind of lays out like a coffee table book, right? So it could even be left at certain, maybe tourist hotels where hiking is relevant or something like that.
Yeah, you're right. That's a really good idea. It is kind of a coffee table book in that it's one that you can pick up and put down. And then in between, so they're basically first person profiles. First person stories from the women. What I did was I interviewed them and then turned their answers into first person narratives and then got approval from them. So they read through each draft to make sure that they were okay with exactly how they were coming across and that it sounded like them. And so there's these 40 profiles with photographs and their words. And then there's also in between the profiles and slipped in are some practical tips, like some how-tos in terms of, tips for solo hiking is one of the sections, or, what you might want to have in your camp kitchen. So it's both inspirational, but it's also kind of grounded in some of the practicalities of spending time outside.
It's like Annie Leibovitz meets the How to Do It book. Oh, wow. That's fantastic. So when you were on this trip to set this intention for what you wanted to generate in your life, did you visualize all of this that has kind of come to fruition for you? Did you picture this?
Oh, definitely not. No. I mean, I wanted it to grow and I wanted it to resonate with people, but I definitely wouldn't have been able to predict what it has turned into, which is great. Like, I'm glad I didn't totally know. I didn't know that I would be, when I was listening to podcasts while we were traveling, I never thought that I would create a podcast, and I certainly didn't think that a book would be something that I put together, but it feels pretty natural how it's evolved. But it's, I think that the intention in terms of the kind of stories, the kind of people, the kind of art that can come out of how we feel when we're spending time outside, that's always been the constant. And then these other ways of expressing it have just changed over time in terms of mediums.
Isn't it incredible how things unfold when your spirit is aligned?
That's true.
I'm constantly amazed when I listen to people's stories and even reflect on my own, how setting intention it's such a powerful tool to manifest your reality. So incredible.
Yeah, it's true.
So I did kind of want to talk to you about, Instagram, social media versus the podcast and how you're kind of tying all that together. And now with the introduction of the book and using all these different mediums, do you have a favorite? Do you have one you gravitate towards more naturally and one that you have to work at a little bit harder, or?
Yeah. I do want to call out that I have a small team that I work with. So it's not just me who works on She Explores. We also have a sister brand called Women on the Road, which is kind of an extension of what I started when I was traveling. But it's kind of turned into its own sister brand, which is really fun and cool. But in terms of what I gravitate towards, I think that one begot the other. So the blog was always supported by Instagram in terms of like how do you get people to find it? Like, we don't have a super SEO friendly site. Like, we're not trying to use keywords to get people from Google to spend some time on the site. It's all mostly word of mouth and then through social media. So they kind of support each other that way. But in terms of like what I gravitate towards or what I enjoy spending the most time on, I definitely enjoy spending the most time on the podcast. Like, I love editing. I love like compressing a 90-minute conversation into 45 45 minutes or 30 minutes or whatever length of time it needs or it feels right for that person's story. And I love the end product of someone who is featured or the people who are featured on the episode, listening to it and hearing their stories and kind of getting to get a feel for like how other people might see them and what's important to them in the world. So I love the podcast as a medium the most. I struggle at times with social media just because, you know, there's, I'm sure as you feel, there's algorithms and there's like things that you're, it feels like a game that people are trying to figure out sometimes. And I don't know. I just want people to take a little bit of time and read a caption. And I think that the thing that I really like about podcasting as a medium is that people, when you choose to listen and you make it through the whole thing, you've kind of built a relationship with the listener, and there is this attention that happens that maybe doesn't happen as easily with social media. But I don't know. Sometimes I also feel like I'm not old, like I'm 33, but I also feel like sometimes I feel, I don't know. Sometimes I just, I'm not as, it doesn't come as naturally to me, I guess.
I'm just having so much counter transference, a little psychotherapy word on so much of what you're saying. I'm like, I'm just going to stay quiet. But yeah, I can completely relate to so much of what you're saying. And especially like, you know, the podcast is a new thing for us. So we're, you know, 15, 16 episodes in now. And I never, ever, ever in a million years thought I would host a podcast, but it is definitely one of my favorite mediums that I've used, and I think it's because of I love to engage with people, and I've always been, you know, my undergrad work is journalism, and I've always been enthralled by the story, and even with photos, photojournalism was always my thing, was telling the story, you know. And so much of my own journey has kind of led me to where I am in the way, and you know, for years I was kind of just this flounder, just kind of washing up on shore and tumbling in the tide, and then coming back and just kind of, oh, that looks fun, and going down all these different paths. But I've really realized everything in my life has stacked up like bricks to build the foundation for what is now. And even going back when I was in college, I worked for newspapers, but I worked in sales and marketing at the time that tech was really starting to rise. And I worked at newspapers because I was going to be a journalist and I was going to do that. But sales and marketing is where the money was. So I went down that path. And then that led into a job where I was public speaking and traveling and doing speaking engagements about our product. So I kind of learned how to be in front of people, and I worked at a radio station and kind of learned the disc jockey world and the audio world, and then obviously published a couple of books and kind of took that writing path. And now I feel like everything, all of those little experiences have tied in to help make the podcast what it is. And then just when I think I'm like, yeah, this is it, you know, then something happens. I'm like, what? I got to do what? You know? So it is an interesting thing. And for me, my, you know, what you were even saying earlier about the people that you have on the podcast, for me, it's always rooted in that idea of staying true to who you are and finding happiness and the psychotherapy piece. Because eventually after I left sales and marketing, I became a psychotherapist and started that practice of, you know, helping others in that way. And so for me, the podcast is a way to express and share, and I love that. I love that part of it. But then, you know, and even like you talk about editing it down and getting really kind of the nitty gritty on the geeking out on Adobe Audition and spending hours with my headsets on and stuff. But then I think about, you know, what it takes to really get it out there, and realize sometimes I feel very overwhelmed, you know?
Mm. Yeah, the marketing piece of it. And then also, I'm sure, you know, writing the show notes and building the, you know, all the kind of admin work that goes supports it. It's all necessary, but it takes a lot of time and it can take a lot of energy.
It really does. And I have a partner in this thing, and all she does is show up once a month, and I'm talking to you, Savannah. She shows up once a month and records, but I feel like I need her because when we do an episode, just her and I, it grounds me. It ties me back into what the purpose was. And she's the one who told me to start the Starm podcast. but it does take away time for me. It takes away time from writing. I have a book that's due to an agent in just a couple weeks. And, wow. You know, I sit down on the computer to edit a podcast and go, well, there went 2 hours. I could've. So how do you balance? How do you balance, you know, all of these different, I know you have a team of people, but how do you sit down to prioritize to kind of make it happen?
Yeah. Well, I mean, our team, everyone has very kind of siloed roles. So Laura Hughes hosts the Women on the Road podcast and is kind of in charge of all things Women on the Road. And then I do the full She Explores podcast, like everything related to it, show notes, editing, all that jazz, everything. And then Haley Hurst does our is basically the blog editor. So she works with people to create the blog content. So, and she's a very visual person. She creates these beautiful pieces, and she also does some graphic design work. She's very talented. And then this other, another woman, Noelle, helps us out. Noelle Russell helps us with brand partnerships. So she has those conversations. She does the selling piece, which I'm not the best at.
Right.
Which is hard. So in any case, and for balance for me, I mean, sometimes I'm not good at balance. Like if I'm totally honest, like people are always like, how do you fit in time for the outdoors? And I don't fit in time for the outdoors every day. Like that would be great, but I don't. And I work more hours than I ever worked as when I worked. I used to work in public accounting, and we had a busy season, which was mandatory 55 plus hours a week. And I work more hours now, but I enjoy the work more. So it's a different kind of work. So in terms of balance, I'm not always the best person to ask, but I think I liked when it comes to the outdoors. I got to interview Florence Williams, who's the author of a book called The Nature Fix. And she basically wanted to figure out if on a scientific level, like how does nature impact you and how much nature should you have in your life? And she basically came out with it at the end saying, it's no matter what small pieces of nature you get, they're beneficial. And yes, it's great to go into the backcountry for a week. It's also great to go for an overnight camping. It's great to go for a day hike. It's great to walk through a city and pay attention to little bits of like greenery that you see in a city. So I do think about my life in that I try to walk to a coffee shop and I get that like little slice of nature. Then I do enjoy going on, you know, a couple night backpacking trips, and I do try to make time for those. So I try to do the spectrum of experiences in nature. But I also give myself some, I guess, grace in that I am not always able to do that. And I can't, yeah, I can't beat myself up about it. But in terms of balance for the podcast, like I love working on it. I love editing it. So, it doesn't always feel like work. And there's other stuff that goes into those hours. Like I don't know. I don't want to get into the nitty gritty of like what I do every day, but
yeah. I'd love to get into the nitty gritty, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, that's great. So a couple of things that I've just kind of noticed, and it ties into a lot of what you're talking about, even with your book and things like that is the road for recovery. And you even just kind of mentioned how, you know, how nature can reduce depression and things like that. What did you learn about yourself when you were on your journey? And what do you think is the biggest thing for people who maybe are struggling with addiction issues or depression or things like that? And not to say that you had it on your journey, but just how powerful being with yourself in nature can be as a tool.
You know, I definitely have grown up a lot in the last last 5 years. So I started She Explorers and thinking about She Explorers when I was 26, 27, and now I'm 33. So there is a lot of just learning that goes on in that time. But I've also had the benefit of having, you know, hundreds of conversations with people and hearing about their experiences. And that has helped shape so many different aspects of my life. And I've also built, you know, real life relationships with a lot of women who've been part of the show, or part of She Explorers in some way. So it's, you know, it's hard to peel apart specific learnings or specific growth. But I did learn traveling with my partner for a year that I need space for myself. I knew that going into it, but I really knew it after spending a year within a van. We are still together, and it only strengthened our relationship traveling in that way, but it definitely reminded me that I need to set boundaries for myself. And I have to set boundaries for myself all the time in doing this work too, just in terms of like what I can give to people, just because I hear from a lot of people and, you know, people want advice on starting things, or they want to tell me their story, or, you know, it can feel like a lot sometimes. So I have to say, you know, I have time for certain things, but I don't have time for everything, because I just don't. But I think, hearing other people's stories, talking to other people has helped me work through feelings that I have around certain subjects, because I've found that one of the reasons I love podcasting is that I'm very introspective, but I'm not always good at self-reflection. And hearing from other people can be a bit of a mirror for me and can help me work through certain things.
Absolutely.
So yeah. Like even just if something happens in the news, I'm like, well, what does this other person think about it? And then it helps me kind of come up with my own formulation. Not that I'm, you know, mimicking them, but just it's another perspective to bounce my own off of.
Well, and one of the things I loved is, you know, balancing saying no and maybe kind of making choices that are aligned with what you want to do, and having to, you know, having to say no sometimes. And that is such a challenge for me. So mirroring what you're saying there. Absolutely. I loved one of your recent posts. You said about savoring the top of the mountain or the top of the summit. And, you know, as an avid hiker, I think sometimes you work so hard to get there, and then, you snap the picture or whatever. And you're just like, okay, we got to get back down, you know, before we lose daylight or whatever. And that moment of taking that time to really reflect on what you have done and what you have built. I loved that caption that you put on one of your recent pictures.
Was that, I actually don't know if I wrote that, that might've been Laura Hughes. But it's okay. Well, I can't remember.
Take it back.
I definitely love the concept though.
Well, so kind of in spending the last couple minutes together talking about women on the road, I have a long trip coming up. I'm going to be doing 5 days in the Sierra Buttes in July. It's really going to be I've done so much camping, so much hiking, but this is really going to be my first time kind of doing a long stretch like that. Do you have any like go-to hike bag must-haves or tips and advice, anything like that?
Well, for hiking, I always carry, I'm sure you do too, just where you come from photojournalism, but I always carry a camera because I love experiencing nature through a lens.
So I actually wasn't going to bring the darn thing because it's so heavy.
I mean, mine weighs like 4 pounds and I still bring it, which is a little nuts.
There goes my water.
I think that it's, you know, everyone says hike your own hike. It's just about doing what works for you and going as far as you want to go. And I think sometimes, you know, especially where you're going to be on a road trip, it's tempting to like fit a lot in. And one of the I will say mistakes that my partner and I made when we traveled for years, that we moved too quickly. We moved too often. We didn't let ourselves stop and relax and just be in a place. And even on a smaller road trip, you can take, you know, when you can try to take the opportunity to just appreciate where you are and be still for a bit, as tempting it is to be always on the move.
I love that. And so we're actually it's a 5-day hike.
Oh, okay.
But
cool.
But that is a great point about about not being like hustling through from we got to get there, but really enjoying the scenery along the way. That's a really, really great point.
Yeah, and I did a 5-day backpacking trip with my friend Julie Hotz, who's both in the book and has been on the podcast a couple times and has her own podcast, Unrooted, which is great. So a little shout out for her.
Oh, yeah. I've heard that. I've actually heard that
podcast. Oh, good. And so I did a 5-day trip with her and a few other women. And one of the things that I loved about the way she planned the backpacking trip is that she actually baked in a full 0 day, just like out in the Sierras, and we didn't go anywhere. And I actually was kind of, I packed really quickly, and I didn't really think about the fact that I'd have a whole day where I had nothing to do. And I didn't bring book. I had like no way of entertaining myself. And for a little bit, I was like kind of panicked about it. Like, I'm going to be alone with my thoughts like for a whole day. Like, am I prepared for this? And it ended up being great. So
that's a great idea.
Yeah. Baking in a little time. I ate like a whole bag of jelly beans, like Jelly Belly jelly beans, like just like enjoyed every single flavor, which I would never do that in my like everyday life. So
I love that. I think I'm going to bring a bag of Jelly Belly. My brother-in-law works for Patagonia. So we're going, my husband and I with him and his girlfriend. And so he's getting us all set up on the list, but I'm so used to, we're usually in small spaces, but I tend to bring, I just feel like I could slim down a little, like, you know, I don't need to bring the everything for the what if that could happen. Mm-hmm.
But it is fun to bring,
Oh, no, that's what, go ahead.
I was just going to say, it's fun to bring like a little luxury item though, sometimes like the thing that makes you feel like you, even though it's not something you need to have for a hike, like it's not essential to survival, but that little extra thing. Like for me, it's the 4-pound camera. For someone else, it might be some like colored chapstick, or maybe it's deodorant, you know, like the thing that kind of is that little luxury item, and that's not necessary.
I like that. How about, since we're kind of on the topic of minimalism, what about low waste suggestions? Do you have any ideas there on ways to save space and generate less waste?
You mean while hiking, backpacking?
Yeah.
I actually just interviewed a woman this week, and her episode talks about low waste camping, and she made the point of, at least for car camping, the bulk of the waste that you have is centered around food. So it's the packaging that you have for food. So I feel like with backpacking, you're a little less likely to have that as being an issue.
Yeah.
You know, like you're usually going to have your reusable containers and stuff. But you know, if you can buy in bulk and use like cloth bags, like that's better. I feel like with backpacking, the thing to do would probably be to keep a little extra room in your pack and pack out what you find out there if possible, especially the last day. Because I feel like that's probably the best way you're going to have a positive impact or to leave it better than you found it.
Oh, I love that. That is that's a great idea. I think we'll do that.
Just maybe not the first day if you don't want the extra weight and the trash.
I love that. No, that's so fantastic. And so just my own personal, what do you recommend for Savannah and I in the way of, you know, podcast life? Do you have any advice for us?
I think you're a great interviewer. Like, I feel very comfortable. You're super warm.
That's good news.
So I imagine you're great to listen to. I think it's, you know, take breaks when you need to, because it can take a lot. Like you said, taking those hours to edit or, you know, doing kind of the business side of it, like that can be hard. I think that your listeners are still going to be there if you take a few weeks off. Especially once they subscribe. And sometimes it can actually be good for listenership to let episodes breathe a little bit. More people can go back and find, you know, your archive.
I like that.
Yeah. And I also think, once you have a bunch of episodes, it won't hurt at some point probably to like revisit old ones and like promote them or post them in the feed when you do want a week off.
Oh, I love that.
And
I love that permission.
Really, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's hard. Like, I think the hardest part is growing an audience, I think. Cause I feel like there are certain times of the year, even when people are more likely to listen than other times. Like, we found that late summer is a great time. I think days are longer, people are traveling, they're listening. You know, if you're in a car, you're more likely to listen to a podcast. And if you're doing other things, like the holidays tend to be a little lower. I'm not sure why, people are just busy with family. Sure. So just, I also don't take too much stock in the statistics. So like, right. I try not to look at them too often. I personally don't read reviews. Like, as much as I appreciate them, I just can't, I'll internalize them and I just can't, I choose not to. I don't need someone to tell me what my, that they don't like my voice or, you know, something like that.
That's been hard for, we got our first like kind of negative review and I was like, ah.
Yeah. And like, I don't know. It's, you know, it's just one person. And even so, to keep knowing, like you said, like you've set an intention, like you are working on a path towards something, just keep aligning yourself to that and you'll really enjoy what you put out and people will enjoy it too. The right people, the people who need it are going to find it. And that's going to be positive for you both.
I love that. Well, this has been such a treat for me to get to talk to someone with such an incredible podcast who interviews so many incredible women and has so many great stories to share. And, you know, just in hearing even your passion about what you do, it lights me up. So I'm so honored.
Oh, well, thank you. I really, really appreciate it. And it sounds like you've had some incredible women on your show too. So I'll definitely give it a listen.
Oh, that would be fantastic. I'd love your feedback if you have a second. But yeah, so, and we got lucky. I only had one person walk in the bathroom.
Oh, oh my gosh.
I scared the dickens out of her.
I was imagining just like a one, you know, like a doored bathroom, not like a stall. So
yeah, no, there's two or three stalls in here. Yeah. So I really appreciate having you on, and I'll follow up with you afterwards and go over the details and stuff.
Perfect. Well, thanks so much. And thank you so much for reaching out. I'm so sorry about all the logistical stuff. It's always always a challenge.
It's part of the process.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks.
Have a good day. Yeah.
You too. Bye.
This has been a BU Find Happy podcast. For more inspiration, check out our links.
What is that?
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.